Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Square One Podcast. We're taking our guests back to square one where they first started their careers or their businesses, and we're going to learn from their failures. Square One's brought to you by Omni Home Services, which represents Chattanooga Home Inspector, Elevate Home Staging Design, Nuclear Pest Control, Radon Eraser, and hopefully some more business entities in the future. I'm your host, Malcolm Godwin. Thank you for listening. Today, we are in the studio with Madison McCann with Speakeasy Productions. Co-hosting today is the one and only Jen Bunyak, which is the director of Rev Gen Ops and Marketing for us at Omni Home Services. And our star guest today is the one and only Dr. Callie Lance with Chattanooga Sports Chiropractic Institute.
Thanks for having me. The star guest.
The star guest.
Putting a lot of pressure on me.
Well, Dr. Callie has decided not to have our typical shot and beer before we start. So
sadly, I have to work.
Said she has to work after that. That's the problem with work life.
Have me back for a happy hour podcast. I got you.
So Callie and Jen just decided before our podcast that we're going to start drinking before we do this. So be aware and anticipate our future podcasts. They'll probably be a little more fun. So Dr. Callie is actually the person responsible for me getting into triathlons. Thank you, asshole. I appreciate that.
Always.
I like to
push people.
Yeah. I think Callie works with a lot of athletic people, not me, but athletic people. I went to her because I had a back problem, and it was the third chiropractor that I've seen, and I finally got some relief with Dr. Callie. But I actually do remember she was like, "Yeah, you should do this race," and I'm like, "That's stupid. That is a terrible idea." And it was probably a couple of months until I actually remember seeing. I was walking out of your office one day, Dr. Callie, and I saw your accolades board, I guess is what it is. And there was like half marathon, like big, like bling medals and Ironman and the 22 mile race and just all kinds of crazy shit. And I was like, you know what? That is cool. So you inspired me to do that. And now I make terrible decisions to do that kind of shit. And I'm a regular customer of yours because I do that kind of shit. So thank you for turning me into a consistent customer.
I didn't know that story. Thank you. I'm really proud of you for pushing your limits and challenging yourself to do things that you didn't think were possible and flourishing at it.
Flourishing would be a stretch. We know that.
You are.
We're completing what we're doing. So that's it. So Dr. Callie talked to us. Our first question we usually ask is, do you have a favorite routine?
Kind of depends on the day, but if we're talking more work routine, I get up super early, go to the office and walk around with the director of greetings, aka Daisy, my dog, and listening to a couple podcasts. And then I do stuff to get the day ready so that when I go and see patients that my head is completely clear. I'm able to be within the room, totally focused on them rather than thinking of the laundry list of things that I have to do and if I'm going to get them done in time. So
how long does that routine last to get you in the right mindset?
It's usually about 2 hours.
Okay. Director of greetings, by the way, is a, what kind of dog is Daisy?
A golden husky.
And she doesn't do shit when you walk in.
She needs some training.
You have to pay the belly tax.
You walk in and she's like on her back and she doesn't even like look over. I'm like, guard dog, hello.
I am the guard dog of the family.
I think it's funny. So we talk about failures, Callie. The typical listener of ours is, you know, an aspiring entrepreneur, CEO, or somebody that's at a higher level. And what we usually hear and listen on the majority of podcasts is like how to do things right and the positive part of things. And we just had Jesse Gant Temple, and she said, like, how many people on social media put like, hey, the farming life is so beautiful. And like, there's little baby chickens and there's sunflowers, but there's actually chicken shit and dead chickens, you know? So what we talk about is some failures, some hard stuff in business. You want to tell us about a failure that you've experienced?
Yeah, I feel like social media is such a glorified side of things rather than the true story. And there's a lot of comparison that goes on with that, where you feel like a failure, or you can spiral yourself because you don't think you're supposed to be where you are, when in reality, they're probably also not where they want to be, and they just give you the highlights of life. As for failures, I mean, in all honesty, I fail at something every single day. Some days are worse than others. There's a meme that goes around, and it's like, man, for how smart I am, I'm so dumb. And that is so true. When it comes to common sense things, it's game changer. You're like, are you okay?
Are you okay?
Right. No, probably not. But probably there's been a bunch of failures in life, but I don't necessarily look at them as failures. There's the mnemonic first attempt in learning. That is what FAIL stands for. And that's kind of the way I look at it.
Can you say that again?
Yeah. First attempt in learning. One of my biggest mantras that I go by is be a learn-it-all, not a know-it-all, by one of my favorite mentors, Dr. Mark King.
Dr. Mark King, shout out.
Yes, out of Cincinnati, who I preceptored in his office. But it's all about perspective. And I think you can change a lot about your life at the way you look at certain mistakes or lessons and change the mantra that's in your head. And that can completely change your projective path in life. So instead of looking at something as a failure, look at it as a lesson. And what can you learn from that?
So what are some of those lessons that you've learned?
Oh, that's fair. I got distracted, typical. So with that, I mean, there's a lot to name, but probably honestly, COVID was a huge one. I went from a flourishing practice in, I think it was my third year, or I was entering my third year, and completely like tanked overnight because you had to be inside, right? And even though I was a healthcare, and luckily in the state of Tennessee, they allowed chiropractors to keep their doors open. A couple states, chiropractors had to close their doors and were not considered first responders. So grateful for Tennessee to allow us to stay open. But with that being my third year, I still wasn't financially stable to be in that position of losing that amount of clientele. And so I still feel like I'm trying to recover from that even 4 years later.
How did you, in a world where, I mean, you have to touch people, right?
Yeah.
How did you work through that? Because people were scared to come in and like be touched.
Oh, 1,000%. First and foremost, I'm super grateful for the patients that were my biggest supporters and still came in to help me. I'm part of a BNI group, and they donated money to me to help me pay rent. Luckily, how I have my office set up, it's a very one-on-one environment. So people did feel safe. I had extra space in between appointments, so you wouldn't see anyone else besides Daisy and I. And super big cleaning, which it's a medical office anyways, it's clean. But making sure that everyone felt comfortable within the closed doors on a one-on-one basis.
Did transitioning through COVID, did it permanently change anything you guys did?
Treatment-wise, no, thankfully. Like I said, we still are very one-on-one base. But it did open my eyes of how much struggle everyone else is going through. I was very grateful to be the safe space for people to come in and a lot of times cry. I do treat a lot of fellow business owners as well, and they were struggling as well. So being able to help them through and just give them some self-care throughout that was a huge change.
Disclaimer, I don't cry when I go to Dr. Callie, just to put that out there, okay?
Maybe only a little bit.
Maybe on the inside.
But that was a very eye-opening experience. So I try to really keep my office as a safe space to be able to have that vulnerability of whether it's about treatment or even just everything that's going on in life, to be able to come in and talk about that.
So are you saying COVID kind of accelerated the chiropractic experience that you give into more of a headspace thing also?
Yeah.
That's cool. You've been head shrinking me the whole time. I knew it, damn it.
Sometimes you just got to ask the right question.
Yeah. Tell us, Dr. Callie, I would be curious because you are so involved in, you've done Ironman 70.3, what, five times?
Six,
okay.
About to do my seventh.
And then your seventh next month. You've done full Ironman. You've done a shitload of just crazy races. What was the railroad one you did?
Gone Loco. Highly recommend that one.
And that was?
A 55K, so 35 miles.
So out of all the races that you've completed, what's been the hardest one? Where have you really struggled?
Ooh, they all present their own challenges. So it kind of depends on the perspective. Honestly, that ultramarathon was probably one of the hardest things I did because they advertise it as a 33 miler and it's really 35. So for you to hit 33 miles on your watch and realize that you're still 2 miles away from the finish line when you're already sick and tired of being on your feet, that's an absolute game changer and a test of your mental strength and toughness. The half Ironmans, I think, are actually harder than the full Ironman. And I always thought people were insane when they told me that until I experienced it. Because the halves turn into more of like a sprint, so like full out, where the full Ironman is kind of like a party. And especially the way Chattanooga shows up, especially Barton Avenue, people are out there like tailgating in their yards, handing out beers, and they'll hand out a beer to you as you're racing, which is hilarious. But I think probably the one that tested me the most was the ultramarathon and the full Ironman, because those were two things I never thought was possible for myself. And to be able to put in that hard work and actually complete them was a huge mind shift within myself.
I will say one of the coolest things I've ever received, like ever, and my son was super appreciative and grateful for it. If you guys don't know, when you sign up for Ironman, when you check in and get your packet, you get your little bracelet, your anklet thing there that you have to wear. So don't forget that at the house the night before, the morning of.
Your timing chip.
And then you also get a bracelet that you give. It's typically a white bracelet that you give to your favorite volunteer. So they've got just tons of volunteers on the course. And you give it to the person that is cheering you on, or, you know, the picking up trash or whatever. And we saw Dr. Callie probably halfway through the marathon part of her race, coming up Barton Ave or wherever that is. And it was just hot as hell. We had the kids and it was just miserable. These athletes were just getting it. And Dr. Callie gave me that volunteer bracelet. And Atlas was just like, this means so much. And I'm like, it really does, dude. She's been through like a ton of stuff. And she saved that for you. And he really appreciated that. So that was cool. Thank you.
Did he get you to sign up for the full after that?
Hell no. He did. I mean, that helped inspire me. He, after that, did make me kind of sign up for another half. So thank you for that.
Always. Also, but yes, it is. We are super appreciative of all the volunteers that come out, as well as all the cheering crews. You guys really make our dreams come true, because the day wouldn't be able to happen without you guys coming out to support us.
I've recently set a goal to do Ironman before I turn 40.
Oh, don't tell me that.
I'm really nervous about approaching the subject. I'll tailgate and I will support. But who takes care of you?
That is a great question. And that is probably also one of my failures. I am very good at taking care of other people. I'm not very good at taking care of myself. I always make the joke that I'm the best experiment. So for a lot of patients' injuries, I have probably also experienced those. But we do have some amazing medical practitioners here in town. I also have a massage therapist within the office, Lance Thompson, who is definitely one of the best massage therapists in town.
Shout out to Lance.
Yes.
And he doesn't wear shoes.
No.
It's awesome.
It's a vibe. So I rely heavily on him to help take care of me. I also have another massage therapist that works out of my sister's office. She's also a chiropractor in Nashville / Brentwood. Spine and Sport Rehabilitation Institute. Shout out.
Wait, who's that again?
Spine and Sport Rehabilitation Institute out of Brentwood, Tennessee. She will also take care of me when I'm up in Nashville. So definitely taking care of your body is one of the most important things that you can do. But also mental health, I think, is something that is either still a little bit stigmatized. I think it's getting better. But I used BetterHelp and then went into a therapist off of that. But there are some amazing ones here in town. I just didn't want that intense of a relationship to deal with some of the things that I am dealing with. But to be able to have that mental toughness and that vulnerability, as well as the awareness, will really help you succeed within endurance sports, because you find out a lot about yourself when you're with yourself for 13 hours.
Really selling it right now.
It's amazing. You should definitely do it. But it really does bring a lot of challenges that you can take to the workplace that you're like, oh, that's an easy solution. I don't even have to stress about that because it's not going to be as bad as this 10-mile run that I'm about to go on. But it does teach you a lot of mental grit, mental endurance too, but also different communication skills. Plus, it's a great networking option. You meet a lot of different people.
I just don't want to get in the river. It's so gross.
Oh, that's fair.
Any way around that?
Yes, actually. Well, not for the race, but our coach, because Malcolm and I are teammates, go Focus Endurance Coaching.
Shout out to Stephanie Davis.
She's the best. She does Masters Swim in the mornings at Baylor on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and their pool is insane.
And it's lovely being there at 5:45 a.m. to start an hour and 15-minute workout. It's just lovely.
Yes. And then you have the YMCA here in town, too, that also has master classes that you can go and swim in the pool.
I do believe they have one early morning and they also have one at noon. Mm-hmm. I think it's Tuesdays and Thursdays.
So beyond taking care of your body in every way and your mind, what does the next generation of chiropractors look like? And what could you maybe advise what you didn't know?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. There's a whole soapbox I could get on with that, but I'll try to keep my answer concise.
No, soapbox away. Here, have a
that's
beer.
That's what this is.
But I think the hard work is one of the most important parts, especially if you're thinking of owning your own business, but also most importantly as an associate, is you might be checking in, checking out of work, but there's so much that you have to do outside of treating the patient, which is the most important part, but you have to get the patient to trust you to come into those doors. And especially with chiropractic, we still have a stigma about us that we're just a rack and crack. Or the joke that I think is funny is cracking necks and cashing checks. We're not like that. And I think just like any industry, you have to find someone that you trust as well as is very knowledgeable within their profession. So making sure that the chiros coming out of school or wanting to go into the profession in general, be ready to grind. You have to be a face of everything. Being out into the public is number one. You can't just sit behind your desk and open up a sign and expect people to come in, because it's not going to happen. But go get involved in the community. Go do the things that you enjoy, and the patients will come that way. But I think that is one of the most important parts, is actually getting out of the community and outside of your doors.
So it's easy. Well, it's not easy, but it's one thing to go to school and get a license to do chiropractic care. Same thing with us. You know, you can get a pest control applicator's license. You can get a home inspector's license. But that's half of the job. The other half is business, right? So you said, for our listeners, following up with Jen's question, is specifically you said go out into the community, maybe join a BNI group, a networking group, Can you give us a little more elaboration on if a chiropractor was getting out of school and starting their own practice, what positive ROI activity can you give them? And don't say like get into Ironman and get all those special athletes, but actually, I guess that might be an answer, but because you're focused on kind of that niche, what is something they can do that would immediately provide a positive return on investment?
Well, there's so many things. I think it does kind of go to the Ironman thing is what are you passionate about and find your niche within that so that every day that you come to work, you are associating with like-minded people that fires you up about your job. Mine is athletes. I've been an athlete my entire life. And I always say it's a different mental perspective on things compared to the general population. And that's not a dig. It's just that we look at problems with different solutions than other people do. And so finding that niche within your passion will allow for a pretty quick ROI.
I love that.
Or start training for Ironman.
What's your favorite part about training for races?
Ooh, that's a good one. I always thought this was the weirdest statement where it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And when people kept telling me that when I was training for my full Ironman, I was like, what are you talking about? It's about the destination of crossing that finish line. That's all I want to do. I want to survive first and foremost. But then once I crossed that finish line and I saw, kind of looked back and reflected, the journey is so important. And this goes with business too, and really anything in life, is what were the steps that you took to get to that destination? Because that's where all the lessons, as well as failures, are. And how did you put all of that together to reach that destination? And so working with my training partners, who we go out and go ride bikes for 8 hours on the weekend or go run and really be a essential part of someone else's life is huge, rather than just like your personal relationships.
So you like training with people?
I used to not. And it depends on, it still depends on what the workout is, but it has really changed my perspective on being able to almost distract yourself to be able to have conversations and have some of those deeper, vulnerable conversations rather than just your typical daily life. Hey, what's your favorite color questions, right? You know?
I don't have a favorite part of it at all. I think it all is all terrible, just to put that out there.
That's false. There's something that you like. Otherwise, you wouldn't keep doing it.
Okay. So in your response, I did realize I do enjoy, because in Ironman, you have headphones, right? You can't have music. So I try to train without anything in my ears. And I like having a conversation with the asshole that's with me usually. And that's me.
That's, I was going to say, that's just not me. Because
I train,
guys.
I like
this yeah, time around.
We don't train together. But it is, I mean, you're right. You have a chance to work out a problem or an issue. And it's just like, hey, I'm going to put in, you know, several miles and just think of this problem. And then you're 8, 9, 10 miles in and you're like, okay, cool. I got through that.
Yep, exactly.
You have any fun patient transformation stories?
Oh, yes.
Best help that you've ever offered?
grateful to have a few, but probably my most inspirational patient was back when I was in chiropractic school, actually. I specialized back in chiropractic school within athletes. So I was treating at the different universities around Logan University, which is in Chesterfield, Missouri / St. Louis. So I always thought I wanted to work with athletes. But within that rotation, we actually worked in this place called Paraquad. And we had the opportunity to work with patients that had strokes, muscular dystrophy, and a couple other aspects where They were either wheelchair bound or they had significant loss in function of life. And I was able to work with a patient that was a previous marathon runner, military veteran that suffered a brainstem stroke. And really, it was a miracle that he was alive and kind of had a lot of function in life. And I worked with him 3 days a week and for an hour each. And he also allowed me to do a research project on him where we were incorporating DNS, which is dynamic neuromuscular stabilization. Again, what in the world does that mouthful sound for? It's mainly when you develop as a baby from about 3 months to 14 months, you hit certain positions or movements that help you for later positions in life. So kind of like you have to be able to hold your head up, roll, crawl, to walking, to squatting, to running, that kind of stuff. So you can put yourself back into these different positions to reprogram your nervous system to allow your muscles to function properly again. And it really all starts from a breathing pattern. That was a lot of nerd talk, but what? Thanks for nerding out with me. But what that was, we were incorporating that into his treatment, which he hadn't had before. And our goal was to get him from a walker to a cane. And within about the 6 months that we were working with him, we were able to get him walking a few steps, not totally with a cane, but able to get him to a cane, which was the first time in years that he was able to do that. And he was just one of the most inspirational human beings I've ever had the opportunity to meet. So that was probably my biggest and what really continued to set my soul on fire for this profession.
Yeah, that is deep. You know, we're talking with our last guest about passion, and it's a lot easier, I think, if you have, I mean, your career, you're helping people, you're not cashing checks. It's actually legitimate. I can see passion if you're legitimately bringing people to their feet and walking again. So that's awesome. Glad you found that path.
Thank you.
You have any book recommendations for the crowd?
Oh, I love to read. Like I said before, be a learn it all, not a know it all. One of the big ones is, I know it's kind of cliche, but David Goggins, and not necessarily him word for word because he's a little intense, but more the background of the overview or the bigger picture of what he's saying, and being able to hold yourself accountable and self-discipline is especially in being an entrepreneur, because if you don't go to work, no one's going to hold you accountable for that. It's you versus you. And how are you going to push yourself to achieve new goals or achieve the goal that you want to reach? So I think the self-discipline aspect of that and holding yourself accountable is an amazing lesson.
He breaks down the accountability mirror, which was pretty profound. You're talking about the book Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. Is that right?
Yeah. And a second one.
Did you like the second one?
It was more like his background story.
Okay.
I think there was just different. It was a different perspective of his overall meaning.
Okay. Anything else about yourself, Dr. Callie, that you would like the few listeners that we have to know?
Oh, that is such an open-ended question, and I hate talking about myself. So,
non-chiropractic or marathon related?
I think something that I guess someone else on another podcast asked me this, what would you describe yourself, or like, what is your goal to describe yourself as in like one word? And I was like, whoa. But comfortable. I really strive, like I said, to be the safe space for people, because I think emotions show up in the body in different ways than what we've ever been aware of. And I want to be that comfortable space where you can tell me things that allow for you to feel better that you didn't even know was bothering you. And a lot, I like to hear the either thank you for being so comfortable to talk to, or wow, I've never told anyone that before. I love to be that person to get it off your chest, take the weight of the world off your shoulders.
Sounds like there's a market for counseling and therapy, chiropractic mush.
you know, Jen, if she starts charging me more every time I come in, it's going to be your fault.
Never. That's just the perk of being, seeing me. Coming to Chattanooga Sports Chiropractic Institute and empowering your athlete within, mental and physical.
Empowering the athlete from within. Lastly, Dr. Callie, we wrap up with going back to square one. If you could go back to square one, back in time and visit your younger self, when in your life would that be and what would you tell yourself?
I think there's a lesson to be learned at every stage in life, but I wouldn't be the person I am today if I did that. But I think going back to when I started my practice and being so nervous and scared to literally jump off the cliff and hope to God that my parachute was going to open, what would be to continue to be your most authentic self, because that is what is going to allow people to trust you and choose you to be a part of their health team. And allowing for the brand of your business to be kind of more of your personality rather than trying to hold yourself to a standard that's not authentic to you, because you're going to burn yourself out really fast.
That's solid. Dr. Callie, where can we find you?
On the bike. No, I'm just kidding.
By myself on the trail.
Yeah. At Four Squares Business Center. So actually right down the road from here. 1200 Mountain Creek Road, Suite 170. Social media, Nuga Sport Cairo. And my website, ChattanoogaSportsCairo.com.
Well, Dr. Callie, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate the authentic interview style podcast. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Always a joy to chit chat with you.
Thank you for listening to the Square One podcast brought to you by Omni Home Services. We represent Chattanooga Home Inspector, Nuclear Pest Control, Elevate Home Staging Design, Radon Eraser, and hopefully more business entities in the future. We release a new episode every Thursday. If you like this episode, share it with your friends, neighbors, real estate agents, or whoever. Make sure you subscribe to Spotify, Apple, or wherever the hell you listen to your podcasts.